Radio Ray RTE, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So smart device ownership reaches 100% by the age of 14. That's according to Ireland's online safety charity CyberSafe Kids. And the CEO of CyberSafe Kids, Alex Cooney, joins us now in studio. Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon.
So it's fact that loads of houses would have seen the influx of new technology over the Christmas. So you're here to help parents navigate the new technology. And we've, sorry about this, but we don't have a lot of time. So let's be efficient with our time use. So your big one before we get anywhere is don't let it into the bedroom. That's the...
Yeah, that's definitely the battle worth having. It doesn't matter whether they're young or in their teens. It's really worth considering trying to charge devices in a kind of central place in the house out of bedrooms, because they're just a major distraction in its simplest terms. But they can also, it can also mean children are looking at stuff that you'd rather they weren't, and you haven't got that opportunity to kind of discuss it with them, and they're less likely to come to you.
So keep everything in a public communal space. So you can look over their shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. Keep them where you can see them. Keep an eye on them. And, you know, just try and have a few ground rules that you stick to and agree ahead of time where possible.
OK, so the mobile phone, the smartphone is sort of rites of passage now for a lot of people going into first year. Maybe they're in sixth class now. So what should people know? Do you think parents understand what they're giving their children?
No, I don't. And actually, I think children are 8 to 10 year olds are much more likely to have a tablet or a games console. So 59% of an eight year olds will have.
What's the difference?
So I suppose the smartphone is the most portable, right? It's the one you stick in your pocket. It's the one you see the kids out and about with. Tablets can also be quite portable. So you do sometimes see kids out and about with tablets too in restaurants and places like that. They have the same capability. They are all smart devices. They can all connect to the internet. You can download apps. You can play on games. So it is worth bearing in mind that they do all have this capability. And really, ideally, we keep all these devices out of places like bedrooms. Okay. So, yeah, it's...
So ground rules then. The bedroom is one.
Conversations. Make sure you're having regular conversations about what they're seeing and doing online. Encouraging them to come to you if they see anything that bothers them. Because we know from our data that plenty of children are seeing stuff that's bothering them. And unfortunately, at least a third of them are not telling anyone when they have seen something. So we really want to encourage this conversation.
Is this mostly pornography?
It can be violence, terror, porn for sure. And actually, kids generally aren't telling us about porn. They're kind of keeping that to themselves, you know, even through a survey.
Some things never change.
Yeah. There's just so everything is available at a click of a button. And I think that's what parents need to be aware of. When you give your child a device, you're giving them access to all this wonderful information, but you're also giving them access to a lot of adult information, which is why we need to use parental controls, but also to check in with them, keep an eye on them, have these conversations, set those ground rules. These are all really useful tools in the toolkit of any
parent. In your research, you found that when you quiz children about the rules and then you quiz adults, their parents, about the rules, there is a discrepancy between the understanding of what the rules are.
Yeah, well, I'd say children tell us, and this is year on year, we've been surveying them for probably 9 years at this stage. They tell us things like, oh, well, we have no rules for going online. Not all children, obviously, but about 20% would say there are no rules. About a third would tell us, and this is 8 to 12 year olds, by the way, sorry, this is quite young kids. About a third of them will tell us that they can go online whenever they want. And there's no rules around things like bedrooms. So when we talked to parents, we did a big survey of parents kind of about a year ago, they thought they were putting in place more rules. So there is a discrepancy there. Parents seem to think they're doing more. But we've also had a number of conversations. We do these parents talks where they say, oh, well, I did try and have rules about the bedroom, but it's kind of slipped, you know. So they might have wanted to put that rule in place or had the good intention, but just weren't up for the battle that then comes with telling them to switch it off or get handed over or whatever.
And what's your advice? And I know you're not a psychologist. What's your advice around flashpoints? Because pieces of technology become flashpoints in houses, don't they? Get off the phone, get off the game console. And that's when, you know, emotions are riding high. There's shouting. Yeah. Any advice around that?
Yeah. And I think it's, I feel as a parent myself, I really understand this. And I think parents are kind of in the front lines with all of this. And I do kind of blame the technology companies a little bit for this too, because they are creating these very addictive apps and games. So there's a reason why it's so hard to put down. There's a reason why there's a battle when you want them to switch it off. And I think we have to challenge that model more and more, especially for children, because it isn't fair.
Okay. So just on bigger picture stuff then, you know, some people say that you shouldn't have a mobile phone until you're 13, shouldn't be on social media until you're 16. Would you agree with those figures?
Yeah, and actually what's really encouraging is that people are, I'm seeing this movement of people holding off. We're, and like, you know, there's a real difference. My oldest child is in third year and none of this was around even then. You know, when she was going into first year, every kid had a phone and practically every kid was on social, on things like Snapchat. Now I'm seeing this real move to hold off. So my next child.
And the reason for that move is what?
Parents are concerned. Yes. They're really concerned about.
There's more knowledge.
And understanding about what these kids are accessing. The average age at which a child first sees pornography is 12. That's the average age, you know. And
I thought it was younger, but.
Well, obviously younger children are encountering
this stuff.
Yes. But. So. What I and what we have to be concerned about is these young developing minds, are they really ready to see what they're encountering? And a lot of psychologists that we're talking to are saying absolutely not. So we've got to be much more mindful and consider alternatives until they are of an age. And what we don't want is parents making decisions under pressure because the child is saying, oh, well, everybody else has one.
Pester power.
I'm being left out. Mm. We want to make sure that we're making decisions because it's in their best interest and it's the right time for them. So we need to see that momentum building.
So you used the word there, and it's a very important word to repeat again and again and again, that these, a lot of these social media sites, etc., are designed to be addictive. They're free because your information, your attention is the product.
Yeah, data That's, is the new gold, yes. or you know, the new oil, or whatever you want to say.
And the fact that companies, big tech companies, are mining our 13-year-olds' information and selling it on to other people is... Why are we letting that happen?
And they're advertising to them. They're target advertising to them. And sometimes that information that they're sending is inappropriate for a child. You know, they're sending them modelling and gambling ads. You know, we do need a lot more restrictions and regulations and you know, around this stuff. So that is something we're also pushing
I'm wondering, you know, and stranger danger is important. And there are contacts made online which are harmful. And we've seen, you know high profile cases of it ending in, you know, tragedy. For people. But I'm wondering, is that deflecting attention away from some people, my opinion, the real baddies, the big tech companies?
I mean, there's a range of harms that children face in online environments. Contact, harmful contact is definitely one. And unfortunately, that is growing. So we're seeing this really incredible increase in terms of, you know, inappropriate contact to children for the purposes of sexual exploitation or grooming, which, you know, obviously that those numbers are all going in the wrong direction. So there is we do need to be concerned about that stuff. And there's also content that we need to be worried about. But for sure, we need to challenge these technology companies. I saw a news article today about, for example, Meta deciding to no longer work on mis and disinformation, to allow users just to flag up stuff. They're not going to do the work themselves. You know, we need to be really careful about things like this. You know, the flood of mis and disinformation means we're living in this post-truth era and nobody knows what's true, what's not true. Children are getting their news from the social media sites. Mm. So I think these technology companies have tremendous power. We do need to challenge that through regulation. It is coming, but whether it's strong enough will remain to be seen.
Yeah, I suppose the sanctions have to be huge, don't they? Because if these are making billions and billions, by fining them a few million, it's not going to do anything to them. It's not going to change their behaviour.
We need to treat children as children online, and we need to ensure that the companies behind these services are...
And the other encouraging thing is that there are pockets of concerned parents and schools around the country who are putting their own regulation in place, and that's good, because there is that pester power, and you're stronger together.
Absolutely. It's much easier to say no or not yet to a child if you know that others are too.
We had mentioned this last year, and it'd be great to maybe talk to you about it in the future, that we would do some evening, you know, with people like yourself in a school and then record it and play it out as a, you know, the highlights of it, so that people have all the experts in one place and parents can ask real questions. So we might do that. So we'll be on to you about
Delighted
that.
To
but for the moment, CEO of CyberSafe Kids, Alex Cooney, thanks so much for coming in. Anish Toshin and the Priest Skelton and Oak to La Cotta Wallace.